Blog Talk Radio.
Find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirit. Today, we are going to be truly blessed as we are going to have a gentleman on today that is not only at the top of his craft, he's also an author, he's also a special effects coordinator, and that's one of the things, actually the lead thing that we're going to talk about, but we're also going to talk about his vast knowledge of history. And African-American history and the Buffalo Soldiers is what we're going to also talk on today. But anyway, without any further ado, because I don't want to take up any of this gentleman's mind, I want all of his mind, great information. So we're going to pick his mind. But without any further ado, I'd like to introduce a gentleman that is definitely on the cusp of knowledge and is eager also to share that knowledge with everyone, be it African-American and non-African-American, so that he can help us to, well, those of us of African-American heritage, to know a little bit more about where we come from and who we are, and also for those younger people that are looking to get into industries that a lot of people don't know that we're really into, that he could share that information with us and give us another bit of an insight as into how he's done what he's done and, you know, all of the different things. I mean, we might even have to end up doing another show after this. But with no further delay, let's get with Mr. Hicks. Mr. Hicks, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today, Zane?
I'm always all right. You know, on the Zurian show, we just try to give as much information as possible to as many people as possible, but I'm never going to be as good as you, but there's always hope.
Oh, no, I think you're right up there with me, or I'm right up there with you, Zorian.
No problem. So, you know, the topic of the show is Hollywood's first African-American special effects coordinator, which has got to be a fascinating career. But could you tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, I started in special effects back in the late 80s, early 90s, on a show called Tour of Duty. It was a TV show about Vietnam. And it was quite a show to be on because there was always some type of special effects gag that we were doing, whether it be bullet hits or explosions, things of this nature. And it was quite a show to come up on and to learn from. And from that point in time, I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Richard Albane, who was the creator of the original Three Stooges special effects. Yes. And I learned so much from him over the years that we were together before the great Lord called him home.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I mean, to be able to work with somebody with that type of history behind them and, of course, a vast area of experience. So you've been doing for how long again?
Special effects now 30 years.
Wow, that is amazing. How was it for, you know, again, 30 years ago, things were a lot different than they are now. It may not seem like it, but I know that there was a big difference.
I should say almost 25 years. Somebody's going to catch me.
No problem. How was the industry back then, especially for an African American?
Being that I was the only African American at that time to set my eyes on the master end of it, there were others in the business who were apprentices and journeymen, but they never acquired or attempted to, I guess, acquire the master parts of the special effects category because it was always a category that only our European brothers would be able to achieve because in Hollywood we have a, I don't want to say there's a problem, but there's a situation of nepotism that everybody brings in their cousins and brothers, and if you're not in that realm of a cousin and brother, and being that there were no black people in special effects, it made it very hard to actually break in.
I believe that. I would think that it would be probably hard, especially since most of us today don't realize, you know, of the shoulders on people who which we stand. You know, people like yourself who actually broke into the industry and took it to that next level and are still actually flourishing in it. But anyway, go ahead, please.
Yes. I've had major shows that I've been allowed to be on, so to speak. I'm very blessed to be on. My greatest, let's say, movie that I've worked on now will be the upcoming Long Ranger that will be coming out in June of this year. I was on the crew of the special effects end of it. I was very blessed that I was called. The greatest special effects video that I've done was with Justin Bieber. And it was called Next to You, which is now at about 108 million hits.
Wow.
And it's quite something to actually know that I've worked on shows that have been quite invigorating, such as these shows that have gathered and garnered these popularities of the mass public.
Truly phenomenal, truly phenomenal. So you also have a book out, don't you? Or actually, you have one or two books out.
No, I have one book out, and it's called Rescue at Pine Ridge. And it's about the Buffalo Soldiers, a story that had never been told before, about the rescue of the famed 7th Cavalry by the 9th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers.
Right.
This took place the day after the Wounded Knee Massacre, which we're close approaching, which would be December 29th, 1890. And on December 30th, 1890, there was the rescue of the 7th Cavalry by the 9th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers because they were entrapped because of the massacre that they had portrayed or put on the Lakota Indians. And they were virtually, I would say, full of revenge. And because they were full of revenge, they fell into a trap, which they were very much unaware of. And if it wasn't for the 9th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers, there would have been a repeat of the Little Bighorn Massacre of the 7th Cavalry.
Wow. Wow. You know, you also had told me something, you know, in some of the communications we had, and you were saying the fact that, you know, if a race doesn't know its history, there's definitely a problem. And not only their history, but also their traditions. And I know that you're a sincere and very serious historian in what you do. And you're also, again, a person that's setting the foundation for those of us that are a little older and setting the foundation for those of us that are, or those that are younger, in knowing that the possibilities of them being whatever it is that they want to be are out there. So we're going to kind of go back and forth, but could you share your insights on, let's say, the future of special effects and African Americans playing a role in that part, and then we'll go back to history.
Oh, sure. I would say in the special effects, and because of technology, we're seeing the last of the special effects coordinators and technicians. I would say in another 10 or 15 years, technology, what we call green screen, virtually is wiping out our field. Where if you play a video game today, you'll notice that the video game is pretty much unique within itself because it is self-contained within a computer. And so the fires and the explosions and the rain and the wind and the snow and the earthquakes and things of this nature are virtually all computer generated. So, yes, these things are not man, what we call man-made or what we call physical effects. So I would not really ask anybody to really come into my field, not unless they wanted to do it as a hobby, because the realm of the technology of green screen and computer technology is really coming to the forefront.
Wow, I didn't realize that it was, I mean, even in live action, huh?
Yes, well, more so in video games and things of this nature, but it also comes out, in, as you would see, on the in movies. There's a lot of movies that has special effects in it. Let's give you one for an example. Red Tails, which came out earlier this year in February, that had probably 75% of it was green screen. Of course, they didn't have that many airplanes, or they don't have that many airplanes today still flying, and those all those airplanes and all the action scenes are virtually in a controlled environment and also computer generated.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought that the special effects area was going to last a very long, long time, but I guess that does make sense. Just, I guess that's part of that movie magic, huh?
Yes, sir. The movie magic is more so now computer-generated than it is physical.
Wow. So here's an interesting question. So if you had any young people that were looking to get into that field, what do you think would be an appropriate outlet for them? You know, like let's say you decided that you wanted to do another 20 years. Where would you go? I mean, even though you've got a vast area of knowledge, where would you go at this point?
If I was trying to get into the motion picture business as far as doing the special effects in, I would go more for learning the computer end of it to create the computer graphics, because that is the new field that's coming up. There's a lot of pyrotechnics is really what comes into our field, more so than the other things that are involved, such as making a fire in the fireplace, having a campfire on the beach, flying someone through the air, rigging, practical gags, such as maybe airbags going off in a car, things of this nature. These things can almost be done systematically in the computer.
Wow. Wow, that's you've actually given me quite a bit of knowledge on that, because I really didn't think that field would go away. I always thought that there would be, you know, always a need for a lot of stuntmen and things like that, but that seems to be fading out, huh?
Yes, I would have to say yes, it is definitely fading out, and I'm sorry to say that. It is part of technology and our upcoming world that we're living in.
The evolution of man. How you say now even our stunt people can't be athletic or won't be?
Well, the stunt end, which is something else that I was very much involved in, is still there. But per se, that I would imagine in 20, 25 years, if you've seen some commercials where they've had these animated characters that almost look like real people.
Oh, okay.
So if you look at that type of entity, computers and technology are really taking over the field of motion picture.
Wow, that's really deep. Okay, could you tell us a little bit more about the true history of America and the Buffalo Soldiers and things along that nature?
Sure. In 1866, there was an act of Congress, the 39th Congress, that enacted six units of the Buffalo Soldiers, two cavalry and four infantry, later combined into two infantry, the 24th and 25th, cavalry units being the 9th and the 10th. The reason why I believe that these units were sought after and brought into the American fold is not more so that the ex-slaves needed a place to go, but that the ex-slaves and the colored people, as we were called then, had proven themselves in the Civil War, where 186,000 colored people fought, colored men fought in the Civil War. There were black women, too, in the Underground Railroad and things of this nature, but not on the front lines, actually hand-to-hand combat.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of information that goes into this. Now, after the Civil War, the colored troops were enacted in 1866, and they were sent out to the western frontier to bring law and order. And it wasn't more so as of killing people on the prairie like buffalo, as we have seen in our old westerns, more so of keeping the peace and bringing law and order, because during the Civil War, everything west of the Mississippi River was lawless. There was no law. Because of the taking over of America by the Europeans, a lot of the badness had come west of the Mississippi River and had established itself. And the Indian lands were under siege, just like the rest of America was to the west of the Mississippi. So these units were brought out to not only bring in what they called at that time renegade Indians, but also to bring law and order, to hang telegraph lines, to guard stagecoach lines, to guard the railroad lines, and things of this nature to help bring America to what we have today and what we see today.
That's phenomenal. Well, I know quite a bit, like you were talking about the women. We have Cathay Williams, who also actually disguised herself as a man to actually become a Buffalo Soldier, which is a...
Technically, she wasn't a Buffalo Soldier, technically. Kathy Williams served in the Civil War with her master, and because of that, she had found a love for being in the military and had changed her name around from Cathay Williams to William Cathay, therefore portraying to be a man. The Buffalo Soldiers acquired their title somewhere around the October 1866 area, where Cathay Williams was, I believe, honorably discharged in September of 1866. So technically, she did not get what we call the claim of fame of being called a Buffalo Soldier, where she was just been a colored troop. But I don't want to take nothing away from this woman, because it had to be something to go through the trials and tribulations of what she had to go through to serve her country the way she did.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for making the correction in that data. You know, we also
No worries.
Yeah, we also talked about that, the fact that some people that share the information don't truly have the correct information. But I'm just glad that information is getting out there. I prefer the correct information, but you know how it is. Unfortunately, we have a nation of people that know nothing about their history or their actual culture.
Well, the problem is that there's a book out that's called The Lies My Teacher Told Me. And in this book, the only thing that you really have to read back in from that day and time is that where history and history books were permeated from. And they came out of the Texas area, out of Texas. Most of the books that most kids read in my day and time came out of Texas, which is why we have a school depository system there, and that's another long story. But seriously, they all the books would always go back to Texas, to the school depository system, to be rejuvenated and sent back out again to schools for the fall season, and during the last 100 years of America up until about the time of the internet and computers, some of these mistruths and skewed history had been permeated in the minds of people, there's an old famous saying that I use, is that the lie is easier to believe than the truth. Once you're so full of the lie, you can't accept the truth. And so lies have been told, so to speak, that where people hear the truth, they are refusing to believe it. And that's what I'm finding in even telling my story of Rescue at Pine Ridge, which everybody on your show, you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble on the Internet and purchase my book, and you can read about some of the great stories of the Buffalo Soldiers of the 9th Cavalry, who I feature in this story. I wrote this story from a miniseries at that time, and back in 1999, based upon the lack of history really being told in Hollywood.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know one gentleman who I know of is a true Buffalo Soldier historian is T.C. Costley, who I'm pretty sure you probably know. He used to be
I know the name, yes.
Yes, T.C. used to be the president of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club, but he has since left that organization and started his own organization called the Black Cavalry Family. And he's also a retired E9 out of the military, and he's another person who I'm sure you would have a great conversation with as far as the history of the Buffalo Soldiers and of education, because I remember I was listening to him and we were talking about whether the Emancipation Proclamation actually freed the slaves. Hence, it did not. But,
no, it did.
You know,
it did not.
Yes,
and
sir.
If I can, I add into what you just said?
Yes, sir.
The Emancipation Proclamation document was just sold this year for, I think it was $2.8 million. Were you aware of that?
No, sir. I did not know.
Yeah, someone bought it for $2.8 million. And it was quite astounding to me that when our great president, President Barack Obama, stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial for part of his celebration, that he praised Lincoln. And it was a little bit disheartening knowing what I know. If everyone on the Internet, anyone listening to us right now, can Google the Emancipation Proclamation document. And when you do this, you can Google the name Antietam. And what I'm about ready to say is that the Antietam battle had a lot to do with the emancipation. There's a gentleman who was an ex-slave who was in the White House with Lincoln. His name is Frederick Douglass.
Yes, sir.
Frederick Douglass had urged Lincoln to let the colored fight for him, for he knew they would win the war. And the reason I believe Frederick Douglass was urging Lincoln to let the colored fight for him, he knew who helped George Washington beat the British off this land, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Frederick Douglass kept urging Lincoln, let the colored fight for him, because Robert E. Lee, the general of the South, was on the Potomac River, just across from Washington, D.C., if everybody knows their geography. And Lincoln was getting ready to be taken over by the South, as Frederick Douglass was urging him to let us fight for him. Well, Lincoln turned to Ulysses S. Grant, preferably, and said something along this line: Ulysses, win one battle for me, so I only have to say I have to lie upon that color to win this war. So Ulysses goes out the door and gets his generals to fight the Battle of Antietam. In the Battle of Antietam, 5,000 Northerners, 5,000 Southerners died. A little side note to this, the South was enlisting in droves. They were wanting to fight for the right of the South. The North was not enlisting in droves, and Lincoln needed manpower, because the North was saying, let that mighty industrial North wind go out there and die for you. I'm not going to go out and die, because the Northerners were being beaten back and dying in great numbers. So Ulysses has the Battle of Antietam. 5,000 Northerners, 5,000 Southerners died. Lincoln quickly signs the Emancipation Proclamation document. I believe it was October 1862. January 1st, 1863, the free colored in the North, along with the ones on the fringes of slavery, they broke away from their chains, yelling, "Let me at them." Therefore, 186,000 fought in the Civil War, freeing their brothers, mothers, fathers, and sisters from the bondage of slavery. And a lot of people are not really aware of this. Well, at that same time, during the Indian Wars, Frederick Douglass had also ushered in pastors to be in the military in the Northeast. He had urged pastors who were preaching to join the military so the colored troops could have a mentor, because he knew that the colored troops needed someone that was like them, who knew their spirit, and that needed a pastor that was of the African descent. So a lot of pastors did join the U.S. military, becoming chaplains. One of the chaplains that I put in my story, by the name of Chaplain, and he was a captain, Henry Benton Plummer. Henry Benton Plummer was later brought up on charges of fraternizing with the enlisted men. I beg to ask you, what is a chaplain's duty?
To fraternize with all men and women.
Thank you. Thank you. So he was doing such a great job, he was kicked out of the service on the charges of fraternizing. And I put him in my story, Rescue at Pine Ridge, to help clear his name, because that has not been done yet.
Wow.
Also, Henry Benton Plummer is his name. Also, at the same time, I had put another gentleman that had been wrongly discharged out of the service at that period in time. His name is Henry Flipper, Henry Oasian Flipper.
Yes, sir.
Henry Oasian Flipper was the first black man to graduate West Point. He graduated class of 51 of 76 of School of Mining and Engineering. He was sent out to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where there was a serious problem with malaria because of mosquitoes. There was a bog. A bog is a body of water that just sits there and stagnates. So Lieutenant Flipper at that time had designed drainage ditches that would drain the water that ran uphill. Now, this is quite a feat, as you can imagine, no plumbing and no electricity of that day and time.
Yes, sir.
Well, for that feat of what Flipper accomplished, still today, those ditches remain, and they are now a national monument at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, by the way. However, going back to Lieutenant Flipper, after Lieutenant Flipper did his tour at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, he was transferred to the Texas region, in the Arizona Territory, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, where he was later brought up on charges of embezzlement. He was dispersing. He ended up with the job of dispersing clerk, and the money was stolen from him. And he tried with other friends to replace the money, but they still brought him up on charges of stealing the pay money for the troops. So at that point in time, Lieutenant Flipper was dishonorably discharged. He tried for many years to have his dishonorable discharge rescinded, but to no avail. And I put him in my story to help him get his name cleared, because what happens is that the charges were dropped, but they still dishonorably discharged him, and his only crime was dating a white woman in the Arizona Territory, by the way. And that's why those charges were brought up. That's probably why the money was stolen with other items. So at this point in time, in 1999, when I'm finishing writing Rescue at Pine Ridge, his family had virtually gotten the army to overturn the dishonorable discharge, and President William Jefferson Clinton pardoned Lieutenant Flipper, Olassian Flipper. So mm-hmm. it was quite a moment for me as I just published my miniseries, which we have not filmed yet. We're still seeking funding for this. So if anybody out there is listening to this, please contact us. We're looking for the funding to make this great, grand story. At that time that I published my miniseries, the pardon came across from President Clinton, which was quite an honor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we're pretty much just about out of time. Could you please give everybody listening, because the information's on the site, but could you also give them from your own mouth the contact information for you so that if anybody wants to reach out, they can?
Yes. Please go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and look up my title, Rescue at Pine Ridge, and you can email me at awprogs@hotmail.com. That's awprods@hotmail.com. I have other stories out there which we have not touched on today. One is about a black woman who delivered mail for her area up in Cascade, Montana. Her name is Mary Fields, later known as Stagecoach Mary. And you can go to stagecoachmary.net and read about this fantabulous epic story that we're hopefully to film later on next year that we're also seeking the funding on. I wrote many more stories like this, everyone. One is about Bass Reeves, U.S. Deputy Marshal, who captured over 3,000 felons, including Bill Starr, his own son. And a character in American folklore was developed from what we believe to be Bass Reeves' story, which was mm-hmm. called The Long Ranger. And there's many, many, many more. We have the Triple Nickels, who were sent on a secret mission during World War II, who never really got the claim of fame, but was part of the secret mission of putting out forest fires due to Japanese incendiary devices being sent 10,000 miles across the Pacific Ocean.
I think we're going to have to try to get to some of these other things in maybe the next show we do. We definitely have to cover a little bit more of this history, this knowledge, and also some of the other books of history and knowledge that you've actually shared with us. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you for
having
me. I'm
truly humbled and truly thankful for your time and your patience.
Oh, no worries, and I'm looking forward to coming back on again.
Roger that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank Mr. Hicks for sharing all of this information, this golden knowledge with us, and also for writing his books. And for anybody that's looking to get involved or try to help out, please take the information that was given and contact him, and let's move forward, especially those of you that are lovers of history. Doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, or any of the above, or what is it? That history is our history, and that's history that we need to know because we want to leave a legacy. All right, most of us are going to leave debt. Let's not just leave debt, let's leave history. So with no further ado, again, thank you very much for your time and patience. And for all of those listening to The Zurian Show, please go ahead on to the left top corner and click on follow and share that with everybody because the more people we have, the more power we have. Thank you very much. Have a great and wonderful day. Take care.